I remind myself, heading back to my desk. This is the best thing for both of you.
Chapter 9. Mallory. Hello? I ask, with a little more bite than I intend.
Mallory?
Yes? I pull out a handful of random items from my junk drawer and put them on the counter. This is Mallory.
This is Keenan Jacobs. Camilla Landry gave me your number.
I lean against the counter and sigh. Yes, Cam said she was going to. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Shitty day at work, but otherwise?
I've had better days. This starting a new job thing sucks.
Tell me about it, I groan. Although I think my particular situation is unique, but whatever.
Want to have dinner tomorrow and commiserate? Something simple, maybe a pizza or something?
For a split second, I consider not going. I'm not in a date-going mood. Not that I really am sure what that means, considering I haven't had a real date in maybe, ever. Besides, I don't think it would be fair to him. I'm not sure how he would compare to Graham, and I know I'll compare. Fair or not, I will. Can I be honest with you? I ask.
I hope you will.
I'm not sure what I'm looking for right now. I just got out of a serious relationship, and I'm not even sure what I want. Does that make sense? He blows out a breath.
Well, I didn't know how to approach that topic, but same goes for me. I just got out of one hell of a relationship, and I just want to find someone to laugh with. Buy a pizza or a burger. Maybe catch a concert. So no pressure, Mallory. None at all.
I shut the drawer, confident I'm not going to find my missing pack of batteries. Perfect. What time were you thinking?
Maybe 6, at Backstreet. Do you know where that is?
Yep, I'll meet you there.
I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, then.
Same here. Good night. I end the call and slide my phone across the countertop, watching it slam into a pile of napkins. They go fluttering into the air, half of them landing on the floor. I just watch, with no intention of picking them up. Keenan's call should have energized me. Dates are exciting, right? I'm not sure Eric even really dated me. Regardless, I'm pretty certain I should have some flutter of excitement. Then again, they usually don't come on the heels of having Graham Landry tell you he can't kiss you. I look Keenan up on social media. He's cute, about my age, with short hair and big puppy dog eyes. He apparently plays a guitar and works at a bar. I vaguely remember him. He does nothing for me. I'm sure he's sweet. He has some ode to his grandma on one of his pages, but there's no attraction whatsoever. Still, it'll be good to get out of the house and to stop thinking about Graham. Who knows? Maybe I'll fall breathlessly in love with Keenan and can thereby keep my job. Ugh, I say aloud, trying to sort my feelings. They're a big, messy heap, and I can't even begin to dig out from under it. My chest constricts, making it hard to breathe. If I had just not said anything, everything would be fine. I'd be looking forward to seeing him in a suit tomorrow and making plans with Joy for the weekend. Instead, I'm allowing him to command my thoughts. He's going to fire me. I know it.
Graham, we'll be up and running soon. I say over the steam of my coffee. I have a few calls to make today, a few things to run by our attorney. Then we can sit down next week with Dad and make the final decisions. Sounds good. Thanks, G, for getting this put together. I really appreciate it, man. Ford says, nodding over his mug. It's my job. Of course it's more to me than that, but it's not worth the time it would take to try to explain it. I sit my cup down and take the papers he hands me and stick them in the Landry security file. I'll send these to Mallory this morning and get her started on them. Ford takes a long drink, watching me over the brim. How's that going? Fine. You're a terrible liar. Chuckling, I lean back in my chair. She's doing a fine job. I haven't been gone so long that I forgot how to decipher all your little nuances. Ford laughs. Back to the matter at hand, I say, bringing him back around to non-Mallory topics. When do you want to launch? As soon as possible. I'm going fucking crazy sitting around. You sit around? I roll my eyes. It was a figure of speech, he says, standing. Actually, I'm taking Mom to breakfast today. I stand too and watch him head to the door. You're making me look like the bad son. Before you came home, I just had to compete with Barrett and Link, and that's not hard. He pops open the door, looks across Mallory's office, then steps back inside my office and closes the door. How in the hell do you get anything done with her sitting out there? Glancing at the clock, it's 3 to 8. My stomach churns as I shrug. I just try not to look. Yeah, just don't look, he chuckles. You're telling me you don't imagine her bent over the copy machine? Not as much as I imagine her bent over my desk. His laughter makes me smile. If your goal is to simply not look at her, you're going to need to put on blinders today, brother. Fucking hell. You can wear them too, for that matter. I toss him a look, one that he reads correctly. His hands shoot up in the air, one still holding his cup of coffee. I'll just say good morning. It would be rude not to. Anyway, he grins cheekily. What do you care? I fix my gaze on him until he shakes his head and gives me a little wave. He leaves the door open, so I can hear him greet Mallory as he leaves. Her voice dances through my office, lifting my heartbeat as the volume of her tone softens. I find myself angling to listen to every last note, a sound I've craved since she left the office last night. I'm beyond fucked. I have no plan for this. I have no clue how to navigate this minefield. It's been a long damn time since I've pulled a true all-nighter, but last night, I did. All damn night. I laid in bed, sat on the sofa, worked in the den, even went for a drive, just to try to distract myself from the look on her face when I told her I couldn't kiss her. Something about watching her eyes lose their playfulness, feeling her physically distance herself from me, pains me in a terrible way. Seeing that look in her eye made me crave to hold her in my arms, to kiss her until I hear her whisper my name. As if on cue, I hear her giggle from her desk. I smile even though my gut tenses. Lucky for me, I'm already sitting at my desk when she rounds the corner, because if I were still standing, seeing her would knock me on my ass. My pen clamors against the glass top as it fumbles from my fingers, my jaw going right along with it. Holy shit. A black dress that looks like it's wrapped around her in 100 different pieces winds tightly around her gorgeous body. Her hair is thick, wild, but strategically so. I see why Ford told me to wear blinders.
Morning,
she says simply.
I was just coming to shut this. I know you like your first few hours of the day quiet.
I've already been here a few hours. My voice sounds robotic, and I try to shake out of this spell, but it's hard. In so, so many ways. If this is her way of punishing me for not kissing her yesterday, she wins. Punishment doled out and accepted. I'll have blue balls all fucking day. She begins to pull the door closed when she stops suddenly.
Oh, don't forget your 9 o'clock meeting called late yesterday and moved it to 9:30. I bumped your 11 o'clock appointment until after lunch so you're not rushed.
What about my appointment at 1? I ask, feeling like I'm grasping at straws. My entire day's schedule is out of whack, and I'm scrambling to wake up my computer to pull up my planner, all the while keeping one eye on her.
I took care of it. They really didn't need to meet with you,
she replies.
I faxed them the contracts to sign and asked them to courier them back by the end of the day. It'll be like you met with them, but we'll save you an hour.
With a fake smile and a little shimmy of her hips that is for my benefit, she closes the door. And I just stand there, reminding myself I can't just go open it again.
Chapter 10. Mallory. I make a kissy face at my reflection, making sure the red lipstick and heavier eye makeup I just applied look good before snapping my compact closed. The little button is lit on my phone, indicating it's 5 o'clock and I'm officially off duty. Graham usually comes out to say goodbye or see how my day went, but he doesn't today. Smiling smugly, I put a fresh spritz of perfume on my wrists and dump my things back in my purse. Every time he did run into me today, he tried to seem unaffected. The fact of the matter is he tried too hard because it was obvious. Good. Let's see how he reacts to this. Switching out my office-approved footwear for a pair of black heels, I wheel around the corner to face my computer. This will either work or it won't. Either way, I need it to fall one way or the other. He'll bite or he'll let go. I'm giving him the opportunity and will respond based on his reaction. I can't handle this back and forth. If I have to force his hand a bit, I will. For the both of us. I type out the email I've been constructing all day in my head. To Graham Landry, CEO. From Mallory Sims, Administrative Assistant. RE. Employment. Dear Mr. Landry, due to recent events, I would like to deliver my intent to leave employment with the Landry Holdings. I will stay as long as necessary to find an adequate replacement. However, I've come to believe our working relationship may not be sustainable. I appreciate the opportunity to work with you and will gladly assist any way I can in transferring the position. Thank you again, Mallory. I hit send before I can rethink it, or before I can add, I wasn't wearing panties today, either. I'm not sure how I'll take my announcement, but it's Friday, so I should be good to go until Monday morning. I almost make it around my desk when his office doors fly open. He stands in the doorway, his eyes dark.
Can you come talk to me for a minute before you leave?
Sure, I say, my heart striking my ribcage with so much force I think it might stop beating. Following him into his office, he closes the door behind him.
Have a seat.
He motions towards the chair in front of his desk as he drops into his seat behind it. Pulling myself together, I cross one leg over the other as casually as I can manage and smile. He bit. Now to see how hard. What can I do for you, Graham?
You're quitting?
I take it you got my email? He sighs, not out of exasperation, but out of annoyance. That annoys me. Does that not work for you? I ask. He just narrows his eyes. Look, Graham, I don't want to complicate things for you, and I think I have. I gulp.
You have no idea.
He mutters. He shakes his head.
This is because I didn't kiss you yesterday, isn't it?
Don't be so self-absorbed, I say. Although he's right. This is because he didn't kiss me, but I'm not sure how I would have felt. Besides, even more turn the hell on if he had. Maybe it would have been awkward either way and we would have ended up here regardless. This is about me wanting to work somewhere that I can understand my boss, where I don't feel like his eyes are undressing me one minute, and then having him act like it's a completely ridiculous thing to think the next.
I've never acted like it would be ridiculous to kiss you.
His eyes darken further. I shiver as he stares at me, slowly lifting himself out of the chair. I'll admit I like it when you look at me like that.
How?
Like you are right now. I breathe. Like I'm pretty or interesting.
I do that because you are.
But you look at me like that. You let me know what you want to do to me, then you refuse to follow through. You play with me.
I didn't toy with you.
He growls, coming around the desk. He stands in front of me, leaning back against his desk. Looking down, his face dances with early evening shadows. You did, but no more than I did you, I admit. I'm no victim, Graham, but you don't play fair. I'm acutely aware of the rise and fall of my chest. His gaze is so determined, so heavy that it nearly stings. I want to stand, to even this power field a little, but I can't move. He makes it impossible.
That's why you wore this today, to get to me.
He maintains.
To drive me fucking nuts all day while you parade around, flaunting that body in my face.
I look him right in the eye. You thought this was for you? He's caught off guard, which only spurs me on. I hate to break the news to you, Graham, but I have a date tonight. I watch that bit of news settle over his features. He forces a swallow, uncrosses his arms, narrows his eyes as his lips form a thin line. So, if you don't mind, I say, standing and facing him, He's probably waiting,
Who is he?
he demands. Does it matter?
I wouldn't have asked if it didn't.
Fine, he's a friend of Camilla's.
Camilla did this?
He almost booms.
You're dating a friend of my sister's?
I'm going on a date with a friend of your sister's, I correct him, like he's crazy. I'm not dating anyone.
Where's he taking you?
He demands. So many questions.
For heaven's sake, Mallory.
He says, throwing his hands up in the air.
Is he even taking you to a place that uses a damn fork? Does he have enough fucking sense to pay for your meal?
Technically, you don't need a fork for pizza. I giggle, my way of releasing some of the anxiety that's rocketing through me from the way he's looking at me. It doesn't matter to me where he takes me, Graham. It's the fact that he wants to take me at all.
It does matter, especially when you're dressed like you want to fuck. Damn it, Mallory!
I look him right in the eye, my heart pounding. Maybe I do, Graham. I turn to leave and he grabs my arm and spins me around. I catch myself on one of the chairs and gasp as he steps into my personal space. His cologne surrounds me, but this time it's mixed with something else. Something muskier. Something edgier. Something purely male that I've never experienced before, but now I'll never forget.
You were making a point today.
Graham takes the final step to close the distance between us, our chests nearly touching.
Point made.
I gasp a quick breath.
Now it's my turn to make a fucking point.
With that, his lips cover mine and I melt into his arms. Chapter 11. Mallory. The contact breaks some sort of invisible barrier, not just the physical one. As our lips touch, the softness of his press against mine, his hands wrap around my waist. It's as if a green flag is waved and we're given the signal to go. His kisses are deliberate. Each press, each lick, each time his tongue slides across my bottom lip is like a step in an intricate dance that I'm more than happy to let him lead. I'm aware I'm being moved in a circle and feel the sharp bite of his desk dig against the back of my legs. When I pull back just enough to draw in a breath of air, one hand palms the back of my head, his fingers interwoven into my hair. He tugs back just hard enough to give me no choice but to look at him. I'm putty in his hands, giving up some control in this moment. Strangely, I like it. No, I love it. It's such a turn-on because I'm allowing it. My choice.
Is this what you want?
Each word is clear, his question emphasized by the look in his eye. Like he wants to eat me up. Like he wants to straight up devour me. I am sure. I've been sure since I walked into Landry Holdings the first day. Logic tells me to consider every possible way this could end terribly. With a decided finger, I hit the override button on the voice in my head and do what I've been pledging to do. Live a little bit. At least the consequences, whatever they may be, are based on something I did because I wanted to. And I damn sure want to. This is probably against some sort of company policy, I say, reaching up and working his tie loose.
What do you care? You quit.
He grins mischievously. His hand cups my shoulders, kneading them back and forth before dropping down the blades of my back. As they lower, palms flat against the fabric of my dress, I'm inched closer to him. I gave you my intent to leave, I utter. That still makes me an employee.
Consider the handbook amended,
he blazes. My breath is hot, my mouth watering to taste him again. I ache as he dips beneath the hem of my dress. Ah! I draw as he grasps the back of my thighs. The feel of his skin on mine in such an intimate area, just inches south of the tops of my legs, has my hand shaking just a bit as I pull his tie off his neck.
Your skin is so soft.
He groans, his breathing rougher now, matching mine.
Damn it, Mallory, why do you do this to me?
I hold his tie up in the air, letting him see it, then toss it onto the desk behind me. I feel even softer in other places, I promise. His chest rumbles almost menacingly.
What am I going to do with you?
Undoing the top two buttons, I lean in and whisper against his ear. I didn't think you'd need a game plan laid out for this, Graham. As I fall back on my heels, he steps forward, his cock solid against my belly. I let a slight moan escape, one he doesn't miss because Graham doesn't miss anything. He grins in reaction, his hands determined as they torture me on their slow ascent up the backs of my legs. One hand slips between my thighs, gently moving them apart and widening my stance.
I'm going to tell you one thing before this goes any further,
he growls, his fingertips searing against my skin. What's that? I nearly pant.
I won't pretend this didn't happen once it does.
If you could, I didn't do my job, I breathe. The anticipation of what's coming, of feeling him feeling me, becomes unbearable. Working frantically to undo the buttons lining his chest, I open my stance wider to give him access to whatever he wants. As he reaches my opening, his pupils dilate.
You aren't wearing panties.
You're quick, he growls. Suddenly, I feel him all over me, touching me everywhere, like he can't explore my body fast enough. It staggers me as my senses try to analyze each and every touch. His thumb glides over the opening of my pussy. He draws in a quick breath, gasping as he realizes just how wet I am for him. His hand skirts over my hips, palming my ass. The solidness of his cock digs into me as he nearly barricades me against his desk. Ah, I moan, as his hand lies against my vagina. It's just enough contact to ramp up my desire by a thousandfold, but not enough to get me anywhere where I'm desperate to go. He grins as I rip his shirt open, working my hips to encourage him to touch me for real. His chest is hard, his abs forming definite squares under the tanned skin. I shove the shirt off his shoulders and then drag my fingertip from his sternum all the way to the band of his pants. The look in his eyes is ravenous, but everything else is calm, deliberate, methodical. But when I undo the button of his pants and scoop my hand inside, cupping his thickness, it's him that gasps. Before I can do anything other than get a confirmation that he's as big as I imagined, I'm lifted up and sat on top of the desk. Things go sliding off the side, a container of paperclips smashing against the floor, spilling everywhere. My chest heaving, I watch him draw closer until he's immediately in front of my face.
I'm going to have you right here, right now.
If this takes much longer, I'm going to have to make myself come here on your desk while you watch. His hands falter at the waistband of his boxer briefs, his eyes flipping to mine.
Oh, baby, you're going to come, and I'm most definitely going to be watching. But I'm going to be buried so deep inside you that you won't know where you end and I start.
I want to complain about the unhurried way he moves about his office, gathering his clothes, locking the door. The only thing keeping me from objecting is that he's naked and the sight alone is one I'll happily soak in for as long as I'm allowed. He's long and lean, muscles cut into his flesh in a way I didn't expect. It's a delicious image, devilish smirk, broad chest, a V that makes me whimper. But it's what the V is pointing to that does me in. A verifiable 9-inch cock, hard as steel, the tip glistening with pre-cum. If he thinks I was making a point by torturing him today with my dress, he's doing the same thing by making me watch him now. Once I realize this, it's game on. When he turns back around, my dress is bunched at my waist. One heel-clad foot rests on top of his desk as I recline back on one hand. My other hand is toying with my opening. He stutter steps before stopping in place, his eyes glued to my fingers. I press the pad of one into my wetness and then hold it in the air. When his eyes reach mine, I press my lips together. Looks like I'm a little wet for you, Graham.
Stop.
It's a command, an order, a mandate given in the form of a sexy rasp, but I don't obey. That would be too easy. Instead, I draw my fingertip up my slit until it lands on my pebbled clit. I moan, letting my head fall back, my hair swishing against the desktop. My eyes flutter closed, but jerk back open as his hand wraps around my wrist, his fingertips searing into my skin.
I told you to stop.
I hurt you, I breathe.
I will give you every bit of pleasure you have in this office. Understood?
Instead of answering, I reach between us and palm his cock roughly. Stroking it up and down, I grin. Understood. He bends forward and plants his mouth against mine. This time there's nothing sweet or easy about it. Like a man that hasn't kissed a woman in years, he moves against me so frantically, so fiercely, I'm breathless. He draws my dress over my head and tosses it to the side, our lips only breaking long enough for the fabric to pass. I succumb to the relentlessness of his kisses, feeling myself weaken against him. My ass squeaks against the glass as I'm guided towards the edge with a forceful hand on the small of my back. Silky strands of his hair slip through my fingers, and when I tug on a handful of locks, he finally breaks our kiss. Our breathing ragged, my lips stinging from the delicious assault, he grins wickedly.
Lie back.
His palms resting heavily on my thighs, squeezing them in an almost massage-like fashion. I do as instructed. Through the haze, I mention I'm on the pill and hear him respond, although the specific words are a blur. Lying before him on his desk is the most vulnerable I've ever felt. My entire body is on display, stretched out like an agreement to be manipulated. A flash of unease begins to rip through me, but when our eyes meet, it subsides as quickly as it came. His breathing is as intense as mine. The hunger in his eyes burning as hot as the desire spreading like lava through my body. But there's something else. A quiver in the cerulean blue eyes of his that quells the anxiety of being studied by a man of his caliber.
Good, Mallory.
He almost whispers, a slight shake of his head accompanying it. His finger touches the side of my face, the pad rough against my skin. He blazes a trail down the side of my neck, across my chest, and over the ridges of my stomach. I see him swallow as he grabs his cock with one hand, my waist with the other. He scoots me closer to the edge, his eyes turning wild. If he can't hear my heartbeat, it's nothing short of a miracle. I can hear it pushing red-hot blood through my body, elevating my temperature and need, pure need, to the boiling point. His tip touches my opening, parting me just enough so I know he's there. I gulp, my eyes flipping to his face just in time to watch a slow, indecent smirk touch his lips. Come on, Graham, I beg through clenched teeth, gripping the edge of the desk until my knuckles turn white.
Come on, you, or you want to come.
He swirls his hips, teasing me with his cock. Stop. Stop with the semantics, I say, wrapping my legs around his waist and inching him closer to me. He laughs, clearly enjoying my frenzied state.
Maybe I could just stop altogether and kiss you. That's what you wanted, right? Maybe this is a little overboard.
Fine, I say, starting to sit up. Give me a kiss and let me get to my date. I'm sure he'd be glad to... My breath leaves me in a quick, hasty gush as he fills me completely. My legs shake around him, my eyes fluttering close as I hear him chuckle.
What were you saying?
He asks cheekily. I don't get to respond before he slides out of me, the head of his cock stretching my opening before he slips into me again.
I can't hear you.
God, I moan, tilting my pelvis to give him more access to every piece of me. His hands find my waist and guide my body off and on his. His length pushes through me, splitting my body open in ways it's never been pushed, kissing the back wall of my vagina. It's a decadent, wonderful feeling, almost painful, but not quite. His speed hastens, his movements more decided, as he deepens his thrusts. Graham, I warn, my body squeaking against the glass. A thought begins to tickle my mind, wondering if anyone can hear or see us through the windows. Just as that panic begins to settle in, my fingers squeeze me harder as he rocks himself against me. My arms fly to the side, his stapler crashing to the floor in an unceremonious thump. In and out, he slides through my wetness, my thighs coated with how badly I want him, Need him. Need this.
Open your eyes,
he demands, kicking up the tempo another notch. It's nearly unbearable in the most blissful way. Everything is louder. My body against the desk, his against mine. Everything is hotter. The sex-scented air swirling around us, his cologne as it's heated from the sweat dotting his forehead. Everything is just more. As I lose control and my knees drop to the side.
Eyes, Mallory. Open. There's no visualizing shit but me right now.
When I do open them, his are nearly burning a hole through me. I fight the urge to close them, to relish in all the feelings sparking through me like a fire show. I release a moan, much louder than I anticipate. Graham, I... He smirks again, the pad of one thumb hitting my clit. He rubs small, firm circles against the overstimulated bud, and it's like a match has been struck. There's no going back. I can't. I suck in a breath of air, rocking my legs back so my knees are bent in the air. He pushes me towards the end of the desk as he buries himself in me over and over and over. Graham, I shriek, knowing I shouldn't, given the situation, but I'm in a state of total helplessness. My body riots, tightening around him, a part of it wanting to desperately pull away and the other wanting him to slam into me harder, none of which I can vocalize. I just feel the burn, enjoy the explosion and the feel of his cock swelling as he pushes one final time. I force my eyes open and watch him lose control. As I fight the end of my climax, I watch him come apart inside of me. His head thrown back, his mouth hanging open is so, so sexy, and causes a ripple of orgasm to course through me again. My legs quiver involuntarily as he groans into the air. I try to hold myself in place for his benefit, but my body is too tired. My hips fall back to the desk as he opens his eyes and slowly pulls out. We catch our breath. Me still on the desk and him standing before me like a man that just conquered the world. Now, post-climax, I'm more self-conscious. As quickly as I can, I swing my legs off the desk and stand on my shaky stems. I avoid his eyes, even though I know they're on me. Tucking my boobs back into my bra and finding my dress on the floor, I finally raise my gaze to his. That was better than a kiss. I say with a smile. I leave him standing in the middle of his office, his jaw hanging open as I head into the bathroom I saw him go into earlier. As the lights flip on and the door closes behind me, I fall against the wall, breathless.
Chapter 12. Graham. It takes 3 tries to get my belt secured. I don't even attempt my tie. I may have gotten off, but I'm still fucking high on her. There is no after-sex dump, no bottoming out of desire that makes you feel human again. The door opens, and I pivot on my heel without thinking. She's standing in my office, no worse for the wear. The only indication of the last few minutes is a little plumpness to her lips and a ruffle of her hair. The fact that she looks more beautiful post-coitus is disconcerting. An orgasm is supposed to bring you to your senses. It's supposed to quell the hunger, make you think logically, and feel less needy. So why that isn't working in my favor now is worrisome. Why am I still considering kissing her, sitting her on the love seat and asking her about Columbia and business school and yoga? Neither of us speaks. We stand, fidgeting as we feel out the other. The twinkle of anxiety isn't hidden in her eyes. The shuffle of her heels against the floor, another flag that she's unsure of where we stand. I would offer her some comfort if I could find it. Truth is, I don't fucking know where we stand now either. I'd like to be able to see her Monday morning and not feel like this. There has to be a solution. I'll make reservations at Zuva's, I say, clearing my throat while I search for my discarded tie. We can talk there. Fresh air would do us both some good. Maybe clear out the pheromone still swirling around my office. She doesn't answer, but when I look at her, she's smiling. Good sign.
Let me find my phone,
Looking around my office, I see it lying against the wall.
Graham?
She moves in front of me towards the door.
I already have plans tonight. Remember?
My hand drops to the side. Surely I misheard her. Excuse me?
I have plans. I told you that when I came in here.
You're still going? My temple throbs. There's no way she's going to some takeout dinner with some prepubescent punk after what just happened. She shrugs lightly.
Yeah, I told him I'd be there.
Your cum is sitting in a pool on my desk, I say, motioning to the evidence. And you're going on a date with someone else? Her brows pull together in faux confusion.
I'm not sure I understand why you care.
Are you serious, Mallory?
The question is, are you serious, Graham?
My jaw clenches. I wish I had my tie. I'd fucking tie her ass up in that love seat and refuse to let her leave. Kidnapping? Maybe. But at least she'd have some sense fucked into her before I let her up. How can she waltz out of here, to see another man no less, and leave me worked up?
Did you think fucking me would make me not go with Keenan?
Her audacity sparks something feral inside me. Stalking across my office, I stand just feet in front of her.
I'm gonna be late,
she says, a tease in her tone. You're really going? When she nods, I walk towards her until her back is against the wall. My hand slides between her legs and she parts them without objection. She's wearing panties now, which makes me happy. Dipping my finger inside her still-soaked body, I slide it roughly through her slit. When I pull it out, it glistens in the light. Be careful, I warn. You still have me dripping out of you. Her lips part, and I watch her try to contain herself.
I'll keep that in mind.
She pushes off the wall, her body coming so close to mine it nearly touches, before walking out the door without even looking back. As the latch shuts, everything hits me all at once. The chaos in my office, the confusion in my head, her juices on my desk. Oh my God, I didn't use a condom. I didn't use a fucking condom. My hand slaps my forehead as I pace a circle. What am I fucking doing? How did I manage to lose that much control? Fuck! Not only did I just fuck up epically, I just gave her the upper hand. I have to regain this, and quick. I scrub my fingertips down my face, hoping some sense filters back in my brain. This isn't just out of control. This is borderline psychotic. I don't do this. This is Lincoln shit. This is the stuff Barrett used to call and ask for advice on how to repair, because he'd let the damage be done. Damage be done. It's sure as shit done here in so many ways. Picking up the strewn items and placing them semi-close to where they belong, I try to tell the anxiety in my gut to stand down. I can fix this. Taking a deep breath, I fall in my chair and don't look at the imprint of her round ass on the glass that covers the top of my desk in front of me. That won't help. Instead, I squeeze my eyes closed and imagine this is a situation Lincoln has presented me with. What would I say? If this were one of my brothers, I'd tell them they're ridiculous. That they could have sex with any woman they want. Why do they have to pick a woman they work with? A woman with so much access to all the things that are important to them. Why compromise business with pussy? It's weak. It's stupid. I'm fucking stupid. I'd tell them to break things off slowly, but to get out of the situation as quickly and harmoniously as possible and then not get into it again. I'd probably call them reckless and rash a few times for good measure. Yet, when I open my eyes and all I see is her, I know it's not going to be that easy. I need her help. Chuckling, I roll my eyes. I'm so lying to myself. When I imagine her smile, I know I'm screwed. And when I remember that she's with another guy, I know I'm in way over my head. And I have to get out of it before I drown. I have to regain control. I need this on my terms. Wheeling my chair around, I open her email from earlier. My fingers begin clicking the keys. To Mallory Sims, Administrative Assistant. From Graham Landry, CEO. Re-employment. Dear Miss Sims, Due to recent events, I'm declining your request for termination of employment with Landry Holdings. You are expected to be at your desk by 8 o'clock on Monday morning, Mr. Landry. That's it, I say, shuffling the papers until the full Gulicka insurance file is on top. This quote is our coup. A rate nearly a third of all other competitors without having to resubmit our financials. It's huge for Ford, cutting his startup costs in half. I stretch my arms overhead. Picking up my glass, the last swallow of an old-fashioned in the bottom, I carry it through the house and into the kitchen. The sky is dark as I peer out the window over the sink. My stomach rumbles, protesting the cluster of nerves that's been wound in it all evening. Half of my attention has been on Landry Security, the other half on Mallory. The glass hits the bottom of the sink with more of a thud than strictly safe. Both hands grasping the ledge of the farmhouse ceramic, I bow my head. It feels like I'm torn in half, part of me living the life I know and the other being pulled away by some crazy need. Need for what? I don't know. I've never had this problem before. I'm great at tuning out the noise and focusing. It's my forte. If only I could focus right now on what I should, namely, not her. There's nothing clean about this. As a matter of fact, it's so fucking tangled that I can't manage to straighten it out no matter how much I try. Hello? I say, answering my phone after the second ring.
Hey, Graham. It's Camilla.
You avoid my calls left and right and then call me randomly on a Friday night. If you called to tell me you've gotten yourself in trouble, I really don't want to hear it tonight, Camilla. She laughs through the phone.
I'm not in trouble. I was just seeing how your week went.
Spinning around, I let my back rest against the marble counter. It feels good against the scratches in my skin from Mallory's heels. Just like that, I'm fighting a hard-on.
Graham?
I'm here, just getting a drink. I lie. This week went well. Should it have? I give her a second to consider where I'm going with this.
Mallory said she offered to quit today.
I didn't accept it.
She said that too.
She laughs. Her words calm the acid in my stomach just a bit.
I don't think she meant it. What do you think of her?
I'm not discussing this with you, Swink, I say, using the nickname our grandfather gave her years ago because she's so nosy. Camilla sighs.
You want to know what I think?
Not really.
Graham, stop it and listen to me.
Rolling my eyes, I switch hands. I am. I'm listening to you meddle. My jaw clenches. You want to hear what I have to say about you setting her up on a date tonight?
Oh, did that bother you?
She asks sweetly. Why do I suspect that's why you did it?
Because you're not stupid.
She laughs.
Look, Ford and Lincoln have both said you like her, and...
She says loudly over my objection.
I'm friends with her, G. I know things.
I know that if you pull that again, your check from Landry Holdings next month will be late.
You wouldn't dare.
She giggles. Try me. Now I have to get back to work since I've got nothing else done this week.
That's telling.
She mutters. That's telling that something needs to change. I have Lincoln's wedding to monitor before he fucks up his life. I have Ford's security business to take care of. Barrett's odds and ends he left behind here to deal with. I sigh. I have investment meetings all week for our portfolio and a land deal Dad wants to look at early next month, but I have a lot of prep work to put in. Sienna is wanting to pull a part of her money out and invest in some fucking hat line that will be a total fucking loss, and I have to deal with Mom trying to convince me to let Sienna spread her wings. Then I have your bullshit creeping around God knows where.
Stop it.
I could if you'd just be open with me about who you're seeing.
Who says I'm seeing anyone?
I look at the ceiling in exasperation. You said yourself, I'm not stupid. Dad wants me to hire Parker to follow you around
you
and...
You wouldn't.
I haven't, I warn. But I will if you don't fess up soon. She gruffs through the line, mumbling about me being overprotective. But it's nothing I haven't heard before. Finally, she sighs.
Why don't you go take a bubble bath or something? Take the night off.
I don't have the luxury to be unproductive, Camilla.
Easy there, big guy.
She says softly.
I didn't say you did. I'm just saying.
Saying what? I bark at my sister, then immediately feel guilty. I'm sorry, I'm just stressed out.
I can tell.
Silence stretches between us, and I kick myself for letting things get like this. This isn't me. I manage shit. Shit doesn't manage me. If I break, it all falls apart. If I fail, we all go down.
When was the last time you did something you wanted to do?
She asks.
Not work for any of us, but for you.
Pulling the phone away from my ear, I see an incoming text from a number I don't know. I don't know, Cam. What's it matter?
You need to take care of yourself.
She insists.
You act like you're this stoic guy that doesn't need anyone, and maybe you don't. I don't know. But you need to enjoy your life. Find some balance.
I'm balanced. My scale just looks different than yours.
Balance is balance, Graham. It means what it means.
This is brewing into a fight. One I don't want to have. Not just because it's Camilla, but because I just don't have the energy. Or the temperament. I'm not in the mood to have this conversation, I tell her.
Can I offer you a suggestion?
Sure, I sigh. Then I need to go. I pull my phone away from my face again as an alert beeps through.
Give Mallory a chance. She really needs this job, Graham, and I know she's smart, and...
It was her that tried to quit, I remind her, my frustration going up a few notches. I didn't try to fire her, but come to think of it, maybe I should have let her. It would resolve a few things. I'm right. I should have. But the thought of not seeing her on Monday morning gives me a feeling I'm not willing to deal with yet. I need to wrap my head around this before I go making huge moves. Well, bigger moves than I did today. Or sinking inside her again.
Maybe you should consider why you didn't.
She says gently. I need to go, Kim.
Come have lunch with Mom and I tomorrow.
I'll try, I say. I'll talk to you soon. Before she can pull me in a different direction, I end the call. Flipping to texts, I see the same number has hit me up a few times. I click on the line. There are 4 messages in green.
I got your email. You can't just decline my request without talking to me about it. Although, I find it telling that you want to keep me around. I'm good, huh? Winky face. Just in case you were curious, we used forks. Real metal ones. We had a meal and went our separate ways. My thighs are still kind of stuck together. Guess I'll grab a bath and consider your request that I stay with your company.
My fingers are striking the keys on my phone before I can consider it. It wasn't a request. Don't be late. Her response pings immediately.
What if I am?
I'll make you work overtime.
Does any of that include desk work in your office? If so, I'll see you at 8:10.
My hand goes to my cock as I imagine her on my desk, splayed out just for me. I'll say you performed well for your first week.
I'd say it wasn't terrible working for you.
Wow. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah. Could have been worse. Could have been better.
Any tips going forward?
Use your mouth more, Mr. Landry. It's how deals are made. Chapter 13. Mallory. The sun shines brightly, warming my skin as I walk through Xavier Park with a mug of hot tea. I love Sundays. Always have. The world sort of slows down for a second. People are happy from sleeping in or from going to church or hanging out on the sofa in their pajamas. It's a little treasure of life I'd forgotten about. With Eric, Sundays were a day to clean the house, iron clothes, change plumbing. There was never a leisurely breakfast, or a trip to the country, or a morning in bed with toast and television. I didn't even realize how much I missed Sunday mornings until I got back to Savannah. My phone stuffed in my pocket. I watched the geese on the lake and the kids playing on the swing sets and slides with their parents sitting at picnic tables, reading the paper. It all makes my heart happy. The fresh air. The peace. The memories of Graham. Keenan and I hit it off on our date, if that's what you want to call it, but only as friends. By the 3rd slice of pizza, we were joking about how pathetic we were. each clearly hung up on someone else. I haven't felt this happy in as long as I can remember. Maybe it's not so much happy, it's content, optimistic. I'm not sure why the world looks a hint sunnier today, but it does. My thigh vibrates, my ringtone jingling in my pocket. I pull it out and see Graham's name on the screen. Hurrying to the vacant table, I set my tea down and smile ear to ear as I answer it. Hello?
Good morning,
he says.
I'm sorry to bother you today.
It's no problem.
I took the entire Landry security file home and I can't find the Gulicka quote.
It's in the red paperclip. The top page is a yellow sheet, I think. Something from...
I got it,
he says. The way he says it makes me wonder if he didn't have it all along.
Thank you. Good memory.
I climb on the table, picking up my tea. I love the sound of his voice. It warms me from the inside out. You're welcome.
So?
He takes in a quick breath.
What are you doing today?
I'm at Xavier Park, just walking around, drinking some tea. I sigh happily. I love Sunday mornings. What can I say?
Strangely, I do too.
He chuckles.
People are less assholish on Sunday. It's like religion hits them or something.
My thoughts exactly. We laugh together, the kids behind me giggling as they run from the swings to the slide.
When I was growing up,
Graham says,
my grandmother used to make a big Sunday dinner. We'd go to church and then to her house, and she'd fry chicken or pork chops or make egg salad sandwiches. Us kids would run around her yard, raising hell. Then we'd eat and watch football or take a nap or something. Those are some of the best memories of my life.
I'd just wake up and eat cereal and watch cartoons. My parents worked on Saturdays, so we'd have to go to a babysitter. Sunday was the day we got to stay home and sleep in. It was our lazy day. But you probably know nothing about being lazy.
Not really.
He chuckles.
But I do less on Sundays than I do the rest of the week. I may not take it completely off, but I do sleep in.
Until when? 5?
6.
He protests.
I slept in until 6 today.
Slacker, I tease. I see you taking the day off. That's why you called me to see about papers, right?
You got me.
I take a sip of my tea, the honey at the bottom of the cup oozing to the top, touching my lips. Tell me you at least had something crazy for breakfast.
Define crazy.
Kid cereal. Stuffed French toast, biscuits, and gravy?
I haven't had kid cereal since I was a kid.
Why not?
Because I'm not a kid.
That makes no difference, I point out. Those chocolate pebbles are the best thing ever. Let them sit in the milk until they're a little soggy and oh my goodness.
I used to like the fruity ones. Only as soon as they hit the milk, though. I hate them soggy.
A smile touches my lips as I imagine Graham as a little boy eating cereal as fast as he could. It's adorable. Probably even less adorable than it really was. Well, I had chocolate chip pancakes with butter and syrup, I tell him. Not much more adultish than chocolate cereal.
I haven't had pancakes in forever.
Who are you? I joke. What do you even eat?
I had a blueberry muffin this morning and a bowl of oatmeal.
Ugh, so boring. He laughs.
So true.
Maybe I'll bring you some pancakes tomorrow morning. I feel like you're deprived.
Oh, so you're coming into work tomorrow, huh?
He sings songs.
Good to know.
Someone didn't accept my intent to resign.
Someone was bluffing with her intent to resign.
I blush because he's, kind of right. I didn't want to resign, but I absolutely would if it would have made things easier. But talking to him today, after what happened yesterday, doesn't feel awkward. Maybe it even feels easier. I wasn't exactly bluffing.
You were.
He says simply.
But I'll tell you something.
What's that?
I like the way you bluff.
I like the way you do a lot of things, I say quietly.
You're pretty well versed in a number of things as well.
Standing, I head towards the lake and consider my next move. I'm not sure where to go with this, so I change the subject. One thing I don't do well is ski, I say randomly. I wish I could.
Where the hell did that come from?
I'm looking at the lake and thinking about the last time I water skied. It was a couple of years ago, and I thought I was going to drown. I never did stand for more than a few seconds.
We go out every summer and fuck around,
he says.
I love to water ski. Snow ski, it takes focus and quiet, and most of it is in your mind.
He pauses for a long moment,
Maybe someday I can give you a lesson or two.
That could be a summer bonus. Three free ski lessons.
I never said they were free.
Taking a sip of my tea to wet my throat. I try to wrap my head around what that means. He groans into the phone.
My father's calling. We're working on a charity thing for Lincoln, so I really need to take it.
Go, I say. Take it. I'm glad you found the paper you were looking for.
Me too.
The way he says that makes me think it was never lost, but I'll never be sure. I'll see you tomorrow, I say.
8 o'clock sharp.
Goodbye, Graham.
Bye, Mallory.
Chapter 14. Mallory. I woke up with a smile. On a Monday. This surely means the world is ending. My tea in hand, my hairbrush standing in for a microphone in the other. I dance around my apartment singing 90s music while I get ready for the day. While my moisturizer sinks in, I check my email. My inbox has a few junk mail pieces, but buried between them is a notification from the local university. I click it, humming the chorus to a song about opinions being like assholes. It's a breakdown of their undergraduate degrees and an online form to begin the application process. Turning the music down and placing my tea on the counter, I go back to the form. Could I do this? Am I ready for this? It was great in theory when I sent in the request form, thinking it would get lost in online traffic, and I could say I tried. But it's here, looking at me. And all of a sudden, things seem real and terrifying. What if I do it and fail? What if I get in it and hate it? What if I can't hack it? What if I really am the poor little girl from the trailer park with parents that can already say, "Told you so." Exiting out of the program, I down the rest of my tea and then head back to the bathroom. As I flip through my lipsticks, I think about Graham. He's unlike Eric or the guy I dated briefly before him when I was 18. Graham is mature, confident. He's in charge, but not in a stroppy way. After you break through all that obsessive and relentless attention to detail, and being a total control freak, he's fun. I bet he's even sweet. Plucking out a new tube I got yesterday. I know it's the right shade. Red. I'm definitely going with red. It's the color of ripe cherries, and I love it. I count to 30, not letting them touch, and do another layer. Once that's dry, I swipe on some gloss and check out the entire ensemble in the mirror. It's just what I was going for. Professional and studious, yet just a little sexy flair with the red lips, slightly off-the-shoulder top, and the highest heels I own that are daytime appropriate. A bubble of anxiety rustles in my abdomen, and as hard as I try to ignore it, it's there. I feel it, nestled heavily in my stomach. I'm not sure what part of it I'm most nervous about. He clearly wants me to come back to work, but I'm terrified it will be weird even though talking to him yesterday helped. Then it hits me. That's why he called me, to make it less weird. A full body shiver takes over, and I force the scent of him out of my thoughts. I can't. Today I'm determined to be Mallory Sims, administrative assistant extraordinaire. I will resist his power. I will not succumb to his prowess. Yeah, right. He fucked me on his desk. I've seen him naked. He's felt me in ways only three men in my life have. I don't feel ashamed or guilty. Eric would call this whorish behavior, but it doesn't feel that way at all. It's fun, liberating. It makes me feel wanted, and I like it a lot. I just need to keep that in check. Leaving the bathroom, I try not to trip over the cord to my curling iron. 10 minutes later, I'm in my car and on my way to Landry Holdings to see what will happen. I'll just read his cues and go from there.
You're not late.
I jump at his voice, although I knew he was watching me. His door was open when I arrived, and I pretended not to notice. When I look at him leaned against the door frame, every bit of willpower is out the window, right along with any lockdown I may have thought I had on my libido. Fitted black suit pants and jacket, with a light blue shirt and straight black tie, make him look like the CEO he is, while teasing me with what I now know is beneath. The sexiest thing he's wearing, though, is a smug look on his handsome face. Monday morning has never looked so good. Good morning to you, too, I say, rolling my eyes like I'm not affected by him. Glad you noticed my punctuality.
And here I was hoping you'd be late and you'd disappoint.
My belly clenches. I can't work over tonight. I'll aim for disappointment tomorrow.
And why is that?
I have places to be. He strolls predatorily to the front of my desk and plants his hands in front of me. Leaning in, his eyes picking up the blues in his shirt, he narrows them.
And why is that?
I have plans.